Welcome back. I've got Sean Moore in line. Sean, how are you?
Michael, appreciate you having me. Doing great. Thanks.
I've been looking forward to this one for a while, so really glad to have you on the show today and really want you to share with the audience a little bit about you, and then we'll dive into the conversation.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me. I've been excited about this conversation as well. I've been a listener of your show for a little bit now since we booked this, and so excited to be able to chat and talk about all things vacation rentals, business, everything in between, I'm sure. So it's exciting to be able to sit down with you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And, you know, when I saw, you know, vacation rentals and owning, it was like, okay, that is a different angle than what people usually hear. Usually they're like, I'm going to book a vacation rental for a week or two, and then that's the end of it until they go on vacation again. But, you know, the work that you're doing and the assets that you talk about is on the other side of the fence. So what got you interested in that arena?
Yeah, you know, I've been a full-time real estate investor for 23 years. And so it's been what's paid my bills for a long time. Back in 2006, I bought my first vacation home and started to really kind of realize the kind of the potential of this asset class way before it was really considered an asset class. It was just something you did with, you know, a cabin. I had a cabin in a mountain lake area in Utah, and we put it on local Craigslist and local classifieds, Craigslist, that kind of stuff before Airbnb Vrbo was even around. But I liked owning it because we could use it, right? And so I got really interested in this game back. That was my first one, but I really started diving into vacation rentals about 2011 or 12. And, you know, then we started switching our entire portfolio over to vacation rentals, really realizing the potential of them. But for me, a lot of it was I used to own a lot of different asset classes. I used to own long-term rentals, multifamily. I did a lot of build jobs and development deals. And I really loved the personal use aspect of vacation rentals. It was this lifestyle upgrade. Every time I bought one, even though it was a financial investment, I got this lifestyle upgrade because I had this new property that we could actually use in the downtime, because most of our properties, they're operating at 50% or less occupancy most of the time. So half the time I can use it. And that's when I really started having a lot of fun with it. And 2017, I wrote a book called What the Hell is a Lifestyle Asset? That's what we call these, because they've got to add to our lifestyle, not take away, and then build that lifestyle financial freedom with it. And then obviously history is, you know, looking back, COVID just actually added fuel to the fire of vacation rentals. They became very, very popular and it ultimately become a very mainstream asset at this stage. But it's really a fun. I'm a real estate guy in general, right? By heart. And I love real estate. There's not every asset class has pros and cons, including vacation rentals. But, you know, I have a lot of fun with them. And ultimately we started helping people invest in this. And so we've grown an 8-figure-a-year company on this, kind of on the side. It's kind of funny to say we grew an 8-figure-a-year company on the side, but it was kind of just a byproduct of us investing in these and helping other people get involved in it. And now we're the largest investment company or education company for vacation rentals and helping investors get into that game.
Well, congratulations on making your side gig figures. That goes beyond most people's dreams. Like, I just want to make enough money so I can buy a few toys. Well, you can buy a couple toys with that. But yeah, the thing of it is, I think, and you mentioned a couple of times, which is really intriguing, is in most asset classes. So if you own, you know, some single family homes or, you know, multifamily homes, you know, small apartment buildings, things like that, majority of the time as an investor, you're not living in them. I mean, you'll pop in there. You're working with your property management team to look at upgrades or fix a unit up before the new tenant comes in, or just, you know, annual maintenance or, you know, scheduled upgrades on things. So you're going to them and like, okay, that's great and all of that. But when you have vacation properties that you own, and you said, you know, you don't rent out all the time, it gives you the opportunity to go, you know what? Let's go to Mountain Lake, or let's go over here, or let's go down here. This one's closer to the city, you know, or to the, you know, the downtown area that we really love, and we love getting, you know, food there and ice cream for the kids, and you go for a walk. It's dog friendly. You name it. There's all these different perks on it, and you just go. You're not scheduling, you're not lining up a, car rental, unless it's, something you're going to fly to, but more often than not, you're probably going to be within, relative driving distance or a day or so, but you're like, okay, let's go spend a week over here. And you just go and you book it. It's like, no, and you just do it. And there's a lot to be said about that because one, it's a investment property. So you're getting, income from it. Two, obviously, if you ever decide to sell it to, acquire other properties, it appreciates in value. All the good things and the warts about the property. So you know everything about it. So you're going to take care of it. So it just, it seems like it's just a win-win across the board.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun because, we work with, I've been fortunate to, this is what pays my bills, right? This is real estate is what has paid my bills for a long time. But a lot of investors, a lot of the people we work with, the goal is to take a few chips off the table of that the business or the job that pays the bills, that active income, and be able to take some chips off the table and put them into something else long term, right? And, if you're like me, you get really frustrated by this epidemic of misbehavior, I call it, from like politicians, media, corporate giants, all these people. And one thing is clear with all of it is nobody's coming to save us. We have to get back to the idea that personal character and individual responsibility are the ultimate keys to building that life we don't want to take a vacation from. And so we've got to find these passive income vehicles that will work for us to be able to take some of those chips off the table and put them into long-term assets and be, one, disciplined enough to do it, but interested in it long-term enough. And that's, for me, what vacation rentals allow us to do. We're able to say, okay, we can take some chips off the table, invest in really quality assets, but I get to use them and have fun with them. And somebody else is paying for that along the way. And ultimately the goal is to look back 5, 10, 15 years from now and you build this portfolio. And now all of a sudden you've got a lot of options. And if you were disciplined and interested enough to be consistent over time, and that's what gets people with investing in long-term real estate is they just don't do it long enough. They don't invest in enough assets to where they have the chance to look back because they don't stay interested long enough. And that's where vacation rentals, I feel like, is a really good asset class for a lot of people because you got to be, that discipline has to, discipline, motivation, those things can kind of waver a little bit, especially motivation, right? And if you stay interested in something and if you have a lake house or the beach house or the ski house, you stay interested because you get this personal use along the way that becomes ultimately lifts that lifestyle up and it becomes pretty fun. Do you stay interested? And before you know it, you look back and you think, man, look what I just built. And now you give yourself options that you never dreamed possible.
Exactly. And it isn't, it's not one of those in most areas anyway, volatile. I mean, yes, real estate can be volatile, but it tends to rebound pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Where other markets, other investment models, you never know. Corporations, and I share this a lot with people. And again, not investment advice, just information that we're providing. But, it's a stat that, I saw not too long ago about, since the year 2000. So alarming, that's 23 years ago, but yeah. still not that long ago. 52% of the Fortune 500 companies are either gone or were acquired. So right. you think, oh, Fortune 500, that's top 500.
They're not going anywhere. On the planet.
Yeah, they're set. Well, half of them are gone or they were gobbled up by somebody else. So if you think that, the top 500 companies are safe, no, they're not. We've seen companies come and go and sometimes short-term, even long-term companies that have been around for a long time, gone. And yeah. It's as far as I know, we haven't figured out a new way of housing. People yeah. need shelter and homes. Yeah, they look different than they did 500 years ago, but not necessarily really. Walls, roof, those kind of things. But now with vacations, which is a positive, I want to go on vacation. I want to go to a nice place, but having ownership in them, also, long term. And again, discipline eats motivation for lunch. You got to have the discipline. This morning, case in point, I go for a morning walk. I didn't feel like it this morning. I did anyway. Yeah. And it made my day because otherwise this conversation, I'd be like, a little lethargic, which I'm not. Yeah. I'm energetic. I'm good. The body moved, the brain moved. I'm motivated. And, but I, because I had the discipline to do what I wanted to do. And as far as investing goes, it's not a quick hit. You know, everything in life, everybody wants this quick hit. And, you might catch lightning in the bottle by buying something and, you know, selling it later. We saw that with the crypto craze a few years ago, but, you know, reality has sunk in, I think, in that market and other markets as well. But as far as investing, again, this is just information, not advice. People are always going to want to go on vacation.
Yeah.
They're going to want to go somewhere and they go to different places. You know, sometimes it's a beach house. Sometimes it's, you know, in the mountains or they like to ski. To be able to do that in a home instead of a hotel, not knocking hotels. I spent plenty of time in them. Mm-hmm. I got the membership cards to prove it, but going to a home is a different experience.
Yeah.
It just is.
Completely. Yep. And that's the thing. A lot of people talk to me about, well, you know, is the, you know, how are hotels going to fare in hospitality? How are short versus short-term rentals and this and that and the other? Short-term rentals kind of exploded on the scene the last couple of years and they became very, very popular as a preferred accommodation, but they're never going to replace hotels. There's a place for hotels and there's a place for when we're going into certain areas and we need to stay right in the middle of a conference or something else and the hotel is going to be your best option. A short-term rental gives you a different experience, sometimes more economical because you can travel with a group. You don't have to get multiple hotel rooms. You've got typically kitchens. You don't have to eat out every meal. And so a lot of times they're a more economical way. They're in areas that a lot of hotels aren't in, right? If you get outside of the major urban areas, the hotel chains aren't investing in those areas. And so you can get to some of these destination markets and out of the way markets that you can use short-term rentals. It's not one or the other. Both of them have a place in hospitality. And when we invest in short-term rentals, we're investing in single family homes, right? Single family homes aren't going anywhere. Single family homes get a bad rap from a lot of big real estate investors because, you know, they're not the multifamily. They're not the commercial and you can't go buy 1,000 units at a time and get this, you know, this big hit. But single family homes weather storms a lot better than a lot of those ups and downs that you will typically find in a lot of other asset classes because people need places to stay. We will always have to buy properties to live in. And a lot of these destination markets, especially with the more remote workforce, a lot of these destination markets aren't just vacation markets anymore. The people actually live in them. And so you've got this, you know, we're able to buy quality assets in quality areas that people want to go visit and many times can go visit at a more economical way to travel than hotels because they don't have to eat out. They can share it and split it with other people. And so they fare well during ups and downs in the boom and bust in the economy. So it's there's a lot of things that I think check boxes off for me. The other thing with single family properties is, as a first-time investor, as somebody getting into the game, they're more accessible. The lending is more available than if you were going to say, I want to go buy a multifamily unit or a commercial property, right? It's most of us have the ability to go borrow against a single-family home. And so that's another thing. The accessibility is there. And so when accessibility is there, the likelihood of you actually moving forward and doing something is also a little bit greater. And so I like that about single-family properties.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's so much to say about them and they're well, you know, many well-established neighborhoods and great investment properties as well. And you know, the thing with commercial real estate, we know, you know, especially with the high interest rates that we're currently facing, you know, there's a lot of challenges coming to commercial real estate over the next couple of years. And it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see how that is navigated because, you know, I heard, and I've talked with people in the banking industry that, you know, a lot of people that'll be coming up for their renewals over the next year or two aren't going to qualify for funding because of the rates and availability to borrow and the credit and all that kind of good stuff. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see how that all plays out. I anticipate there will probably be some governmental intervention on that, but to what degree, who knows? And also will depend on everything else that's going on in the world. So again, investment information, not advice, but that is definitely going to be one market that the pandemic definitely hit, and the ramifications of it, along with interest rates and all of that, and ability to borrow, is going to make it even more difficult for new players in the game. The old players that have the access to equity and capital, you know, will probably be able to gobble up some properties at a pretty affordable rate to, you know, save some people. And then the market will turn around and they'll go, wow, look how much of our ROI on that was, you know. So it's all risk and reward, you know, but
it's cycles. Yeah. And it's just, yeah, you're alluding to what's most likely going to happen on the commercial side for sure. It's just, I mean, the fallout's going to be fairly significant, basically just because, not because necessarily anything happened with a lot of these assets outside of office space. Office space is down. I think you'll see a reallocation of some office space going to more mixed use, maybe even housing, turning it into more, you know, urban center housing, because there's a shortfall of affordable housing in a lot of those areas. But capital markets will figure that part out. It's that a lot of these commercial side, they take short-term loans out, right? And they have these adjustable rate mortgages. And all of a sudden, where rates have done and they've skyrocketed and everybody's coming due to renew or refinance, and the ability is not going to be there. And there's going to be definite fallout. And it's going to trickle down to other markets as well. And I'm with you. I would anticipate you're going to probably see, because I think the dollar amounts are large enough and the banks are going to be in a big enough pinch, that you're going to see government intervention at some stage or some level. Who knows what that's going to be, though.
Just in time for a presidential election.
Right.
Not talking politics on this show, but, right. I love everybody. That's my approach on it. You know, and then I'll occasionally joke, because I'm a dual citizen, US and Canadian citizen, that I can vote and screw up two countries. And then I just leave it there. I don't say who I vote for.
I like it.
It's like, I love everybody. You know, we all have something in common. Sometimes we forget, but we do. But
yeah.
So where do you see, you know, the market over the next few years, especially on the vacation thing? Because I think you hit something right on the head with the ever growing remote force. And we know there's still a lot of tug and pull on people going back in the office more, or remote forever. You know, there's hybrids of that. And I think it will settle to whatever it's going to settle to, but I think there's still going to be a big portion of people that will be allowed to work remote. And they say, and even in case in point, you know, my brother works for an entity, and, you know, their CEO basically said, remote work does not mean you have to be at home. Right. You can, if you're working remote, you can, as long as you have internet access and we can reach you, you can be in an igloo for all we care.
Yeah.
Just be able to do your work. Don't have an impact where you work. So that gives a lot of flexibility and autonomy for people to travel and say, you know what? I would love to work in, you know, Northern Utah for, you know, a couple months, especially during the winter, because I love to ski. I don't, but, you know, people do. Had a sledding accident when I was young, and the hospital told me, do you like skiing? I said, I haven't really started. And they said, don't.
I'm like, don't.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'll follow that advice, doctor. Thank you. So, but yeah, where do you see the market going over the next few years?
Yeah, it's interesting. In our space, I think that it's a really fun place, especially where I've come from, you know, back in 2006, really investing in this type of a market, is we're finally recognized as a real and like its own asset class. Like, it's a mainstream asset class. So this market on the short-term rental side is still in the very infant stages when it comes to technology and resources. There was a lot of enterprise level hospitality softwares and everything that the hotels all had access to. We're starting to see investors come in and make that available to individual owner operators and smaller, you know, boutique managers. And so we're just starting to see that come into play, where the demand has gone up so much. And because it's a preferred travel accommodation for a lot of people now, we're starting to see that. And I think it's going to continue to stay, you know, really, really strong, steady demand. But also, I think because of the enterprise level solutions available now to hosts and investors on the software side, we're going to raise the bar even again, where all of a sudden we become this a very professional industry, where before it was just still a mom and pop, right? It was, you know, somebody renting out grandma's cabin to make a little bit of extra money. And we're still in the very, very infant stages of people really taking it like that. This is an asset class that I want to invest in, build a portfolio. And you're seeing institutional investors come into the space. And I think it's on the very front end of that. And coming to the remote work, I still think a lot of the destination markets are still going to continue to be destination markets. That's going to be the bulk of your travelers probably coming in and out for vacations. That doesn't mean that we haven't seen a really big increase. And I think we're going to continue to see an increase in the midterm stays. Those people that are coming in to work for 3 or 4 months and they're coming in and they're obviously need furnished properties. And so I think it's an opportunity as an investor to look at that. If you're in a market that brings in people for work, if it's a destination market, I don't think you're going to, I'm pretty old school where I pick a lane and I kind of stay in it. If I set my property up for a vacationer, I'm not trying to attract corporate travelers, and digital nomads and vacationers. I'm going to pick a target audience and set my unique experience on my property up for that target audience. And so sometimes I have properties that I do target corporate travelers or the digital nomads for midterm stays. But I also don't go those properties. I don't go after the vacationer that comes to that area. I don't try to be I'm going to have a furnished property. Anybody that wants to come can come. I really try to be very, very intentional about who we're attracting, but that also helps us become, operate toward the tops of the market, because that middle of the market where everybody's trying to capture everybody, you put this big wide net out and you hope that everybody comes. That's really it just in business in general. That just doesn't typically be, or that's not typically the best way to gain your unfair share of business, if you will. And so, but I think that we're very mainstream now. We're very, recognized. You're starting to see a lot of VC money come into the play. And I think that's going to be really exciting, because I think it's going to just raise the bar between the professional hosts and those people operating in the middle of the, and I think that gap's going to widen significantly. The guest is going to expect the professional host, professional amenities, full concierge services, all of that stuff, which before it was logistically very difficult to pull that off. And so that's very exciting in our space. And I think that's just going to continue to bring demand up, because it becomes that much better of an experience for the ultimately for the guest.
Yeah, it's exciting times for that. And you had mentioned, grandma's cabin. I'm thinking, I should probably rent out grandma's cabin, but I don't think the new homeowners would be very happy with me, but that's worth a shot,
Yeah, right.
that cabin's long gone. They tore it down and they built a brand new property on there. I'm like, oh, finally an indoor bathroom. Great.
Right.
after she sold the place. Oh, great. Yeah, those outhouse visits at 3 o'clock in the morning was a little.
Yeah, they're no fun in the middle of the night, right?
Yeah, or in the middle of the day either, especially when your cousins have BB guns, so they think it's cute to shoot the outhouse right. While you're in there. Yeah, just don't do it with grandma. Yeah, she was none too happy because we thought it was one of our cousins, so somebody shot it. No, grandma was in there. Yeah.
That gets you in trouble fast.
Yeah. We didn't have the BB guns for the rest of that trip for some reason. Yeah. I'm not sure why, but anyway, I've loved this conversation. Where can people find out more about you and all this awesome work you're doing?
Awesome, Michael. I appreciate it. Yeah. The best place is to go to vodasey.com. It's VODYSSEY.com. We got a lot of free resources there. You can, our book, What the Hell is a Lifestyle Asset? If you're interested in kind of our view of this world and our approach to investing, you can get a free downloaded copy there. If you want the hard copy, you can go on Amazon and grab it. I've got a lot of different trainings, everything else. Vodasey.com is the best place to start if you're interested in what we're doing on the vacation rental side.
I'll definitely have that in the show notes. So Sean, thanks so much for this conversation. I've loved it and really glad that we finally got to connect on this.
Likewise, Michael. Appreciate you having me.